The next scripture that you will hear is out of Romans. It is Paul's letter to the Romans. Romans is very theological. It is Paul's most grounded and clear work. It is Paul's most developed writing. The whole of this letter is broken up into 16 chapters. We hear today out of chapter 8. So we are halfway through Paul's letter. It is halfway through Paul's thinking. We have not yet reached a discussion in Paul's work, Paul's letter, called True Marks of a Christian. In fact, he's still giving us a sermon differentiating sin and salvation and flesh and sin and how Jesus works within us. He's still talking about the impact of a broken life, the impact of sin on us. Paul is challenging us to understand that in the face of a broken world, a broken life, the challenges that we have and we feel within us, that there is still hope, that there is still healing that can come to us, that there is still possibility and potential, and they come to us through Jesus Christ. Listen now to this few verses from Romans, and then I'm just going to share a little bit with you after that. Margene?
Yes. This comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 22 through 27. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. Not only the creation, but we ourselves. We have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inward while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but with the very Spirit intercedes with signs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what it is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Praise be to God.
In the service, so come back next week and maybe I'll preach the sermon for you. But for now, I want to tell you a little story. It is Confirmation Sunday. It is Pentecost Sunday. It is a big deal Sunday. Some of you may have come, and you may be new to this place, and you may think to yourself, well, this is crazy. We've got a lot of crazy stuff going on. And we do. But what a great week to have it. That first scripture that you heard was from Acts. I still have nightmares about being about 19 and having to read that scripture out loud in front of the whole church. It is so hard for me to name all those countries and those people and those places. All the way through seminary, I had nightmares about having to read that passage in particular out loud. But it is a passage of beauty, and it is a passage that is at the core of our faith because it speaks to the diversity of humanity. And what is going on there is powerful. Long about the beginning of the Bible, just for our sake, in a grand sweeping statement, there were divisions. People didn't know how to get along. Some peoples were building this little tower to heaven to try to touch up with God, Tower of Babel, and it got brought down. There was a division among people, and that story names that in the scriptures early on. This gospel, Acts passage, I always think Luke, Acts goes together, so I tend to think of Acts as a continuation of Luke and therefore part of the good news of the gospel. But this Acts passage speaks to God's power to bring people back together. What more would you want in this world at this moment in history than for God to intercede and bring a spirit that brings people back together? Have you been watching the news this week? It's dreadful. It is dreadful. I'm not sure I know my neighbor, come to think of it. I think they're pretty cool, but I'm not sure. Shouldn't we all get to know our neighbors? Shouldn't we all greet the people who live across the street from us? We pray for people around the world to be unified, to be kind to one another. Maybe that's one of those points of impact where we can get out of ourselves and greet our next-door neighbors, our neighbor across the street. Meet them and try to find a way, engage, embrace, accept the Spirit of God coming down upon us and calling us to be back together with one another. If you can't say the words of those countries that are in Acts, you're not alone. But maybe you can find out the name of your neighbor, or at least the name of the barista at the local coffee place that you go to in the morning, and claim community. This passage that we got from Romans, I told you, this passage, this letter to the Romans from Paul is Paul's most clear and developed theology. He starts with Thessalonians, that letter to the Thessalonians that's fairly short and not quite so specific. And he works all the way through. He writes to the Corinthians along the way, various other people. We have a few of those in our Bible. But he culminates with this letter to the Romans. And we're in chapter 8, as we read this morning. And Paul is speaking to a people who feel the brokenness and the pain of this world. Paul is speaking to a people who are experiencing the sin and the breakdown in humanity, both within themselves and outside of themselves in community. And Paul is claiming Christ as a source of hope. He says, let us pray, or let us hear the Spirit, and God will come to us with sighs too deep for words. Have you ever been in prayer and you wanted to pray and you couldn't find the words? And all you could get out was kind of a muffled, That's what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about that exasperation as we watch the news. As we watch the news, as we see the way the world works. And Paul is talking about hope that we can have in Christ. Christ that restores, Christ that gives new life, Christ that brings us grace. And that grace of Christ works within our hearts even before we know it. As we were doing the baptism for Indiana this morning, I was thinking about my own baptism. I was baptized by Pastor Dennis Ganoza. And even before I joined the church, I didn't start going to church until I was about 13, at least not the Methodist church. I went with friends and that kind of thing, but I started at church about 13. And I was so annoyed with my parents for wrecking my Sunday morning. But I went to church, and Pastor Dennis, I got to do... You think confirmation with Miss Becky was challenging? I was the only young person in the church, so I got to do one-on-one confirmation with the pastor. He said to me one day, go home and learn the Lord's Prayer and come back next week and we'll pray it together. Acts and learning how to say that was nothing compared to trying to memorize and pray appropriately with Pastor Dennis. But Pastor Dennis baptized me, and he made a place for me in the church even before I knew I was a person of faith beloved by God. And Pastor Dennis, from the time that I was baptized until I got ordained, every time he would see me after he left the church, because they moved pastors around periodically, Pastor Dennis would say to me, I remember your baptism. I remember your baptism. Don't you remember how I had you light the candles? And don't you remember how I put water on you and your mother? And don't you remember every single time he saw me, he said, I remember your baptism. Pastor Dennis was reminding me that I had a place in the body of Christ, even before I understood or could articulate what that meant. And on the day that I got ordained, Methodists go through multiple steps and lots of studies and interviews and papers and things like that to be ordained. I went through a two-step ordination. I got ordained as a deacon in 1999 and then ordained as an elder in 2003. And in 2003, I was 33. Do you remember when Jesus was killed? He was 33. Do you know who reminded me of that? Pastor Dennis. As I was standing in line to go in to get ordained, Pastor Dennis came up to me and I thought, oh good, he's going to tell me my baptism story again. Oh no! Pastor Dennis says, this is a good year for you to be ordained. You enter into the life of this church in this very special day, in this very special way, and you're getting ordained the same year that Jesus was killed. Thanks, Pastor Dennis. And he said, no. Don't you remember when you were baptized, you participated in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection? You were given the hope of life eternal. You were given salvation. This is good, he said. All past this is like your gift back to God. It's like extra credit. He meant it in love. I don't know what else he said, but I remember looking at him and thinking how blessed I was to have a minister who stood by me, a faith father who claimed me, somebody in my life who reminded me, you are a part of the body of Christ. No, you may think that you're an only child, Leanne, but you are not. You have all these brothers and sisters, and many of whom you haven't even met yet. Confirmands, as you grow up, you may fall away from the church. We may irritate you. We do that occasionally. Churches mess up sometimes, and you may come and go. You may go to college. You may get married. Whatever you do. But from this point forward, you have a family that is bigger than you even know. You don't know all the names of your, you may not know the names of your core family. You really don't know the names of everybody in God's family, let alone be able to pronounce them all at any given time. But when you show up to a church, these are your family. Whether you go into a Methodist church or Presbyterian church or Catholic church or wherever you go, they're your family. Don't let them tell you anything different. They are your family, whether they know your name or you know their name or not. These are your people. This is your community. This is who you belong to and who belongs to you. So, on Pentecost Sunday, when I got ordained, when you finally get ordained and through everything you have to go through, they give you a stole. And this is the stole I got on the year that I was ordained. It has my name in it even. June 21st, 2003. Every now and then I forget when I was ordained or what was going on, and I can just read my stole. Not bad, right? That's why it looks a little crunchy, is because I don't think, never mind, I won't go there. But I remember when I was getting ordained, I was worried about the height of my heels and kneeling down on the bench and I'm getting caught in the thing, and I was worried about being able to stand upright, and I was worried about all these things and standing in the right place, and I knelt down. And you get ordained by the bishop. And Bishop Marianne Swenson laid her hands on me. And then I was looking down because it's a pious moment. And you're thinking, please, God, don't let me, like, trip and fall. And please don't let me humiliate myself in the church. And Bishop Marianne grabbed me by the face and said, take thou authority. Take thou authority and serve the church and serve Christ. You are a beloved of God. Nothing else matters past that. When you are confirmed in the church, you are acknowledging that you are a beloved of God. That is God's gift to us, offered today and always. Amen.